And if you're under 65, you can go with the children. And if you're over 65, be glad you can still get up, okay? Without too much noise, okay? I've got a question for you this morning. How do you see Jesus? Every one of us who is gathered here in this sanctuary has a mental picture of Jesus because we think in mental pictures. What does he look like? And not necessarily a picture you've seen someplace. I don't know that pictures are really accurate. Let's start in the 55th chapter of Isaiah. Turn there, if you will. Isaiah 55. This morning, I'd like you to get a real vision of who Jesus is. We really don't know him like we should. In Isaiah 55, beginning at verse 9, it's a passage you should be familiar with if you're reading the Bible through. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherewith I said it. As I was reading a devotion the other day, this passage was a part of that devotion. You may have read the same one. Why do we come to church? What's the purpose for our gathering here? And what does it accomplish in each of our lives? Before I was saved, Jesus Christ was just a form of profanity to me. Today, it's totally different. Jesus Christ is my Savior. I hope he's yours. And I say his name with reverence, awe, expectation, familiarity, and love for a friend. And yet, he's so much more than that. I have difficulty verbalizing what he is to me. I would hope you did too. I know that he's God, but that doesn't express to me who he really is. And it has something to do with the Word of God as it is stated in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made. That's a small description of Jesus. But I've been doing some studying in preparation for Sunday nights as we're going through the book of Genesis, and Michael loaned me some DVDs that deal with creation and some of the things, and I've been watching them, and he gave me one from Moody Science. And as I watched that, I began to see something that was way beyond what I normally think. To much of the world, the Bible is just a book. And yet, it is so much more. I have the Bible in my brain as I have memorized it, as some of you do too. We have it in our brains where we have memorized it. But that's not where it really affects my life. I don't know about yours. It affects my life more in my heart. And I hope it does in your heart too. I hope that's where it's really working, where it's really living. One of the things about the Bible is once we are saved, you and I, we've accepted Christ as our Savior, the Bible becomes part of our heart. It becomes a part of our life. That we want to live it. We want to experience it. And the devil gives us all kinds of reasons why we shouldn't sit down and read it. Life has a certain urgency to it that distracts us from what God wants for all of us. And we let that distract us. Jesus is a part of your soul if you know him as your Savior. He's taken your sin burden away, and your life is different than it was before. I believe that what the Bible said about his dying on the cross and being buried and rising from the dead. I believe that. And if you're saved, you do too. The Bible doesn't stop there. There are things that the Bible says, and sometimes it's in just one verse, that goes so far beyond what we understand, what we know. And yet it is so important. If we're going to read the Bible and we're going to study the Bible and know who Jesus really is, for most of us, most of our lives, we picture him as a man, like you and I, a human. And we know he's God. We know that he is part of the Trinity. We don't know how to put it together exactly, but we know he's a part of God. We know that after he died, he went to heaven. Bobby's been teaching about that in Sunday school. If you're missing Sunday school, you're missing some opportunity to know more about God. But he went to heaven, and he's at the right hand of God right now making intercession for each one of us. Who really is Jesus? How do you see him? If he walked into the sanctuary right now through that back door, would you recognize him with these eyes? I don't think we would. I don't think he looks like the pictures we see of him. The way that we would recognize him, if he came into our presence, not here, it's here, and we would fall upon our faces. And it wouldn't be tripping over a curb, Becky. We'd fall upon our faces. We'd do face plants right here in this carpet. Because he's Jesus. He's God. I don't think most of the time we realize who he is and what he has actually done for us and what he is doing. And this morning, I want to try and verbalize only a little bit. I find I cannot verbalize. I don't have the verbiage or the words to describe him. Don't let me confuse you. Everyone in the sanctuary this morning has an image of him in your mind. Even though none of us have ever actually seen him. But we all have a spiritual image of him also in our hearts. That's where we want to go this morning. We want to expand on that image. Acts 4:10. Bob, you'll eventually get to that too. Acts 4:10 through 12 says, "Let it be known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now, to some of us who are not contractors or builders, we talk about the head of the corner. And I didn't realize what that was for a lot of years. And then we decided we were going to build a concrete brick building out in Texas. And when we all got gathered, some 30-some of us, we had 22,000 blocks to lay. That's a bunch. And we had to get a block contractor to come out and show us how to line it up, how to get that first row put in on the footings, and then lay that cornerstone around which the building is built. Jesus is the cornerstone of our life. Our life is built around him. It's supposed to be. Jesus himself made a statement. It's in John 14:1-10. And I want to read that to you this morning because it's got a bearing on where we're going. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And if ye had known me, ye should have known him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am the Father, in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I now speak to you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Verse 10 of this passage tells us a fact that is very important to each one of us. You've read the statement that Jesus is making intercession for us. But there's so much more that Jesus said that he does the speaking and presenting of the word. But it is God the Father who does the actual work. Jesus intercedes for us. God responds. We are all here by God's grace. We're all here by the mercy of God. We shouldn't be here. The lives that we've lived, not intending to be filled with maliciousness or malice, but the lives that we've actually lived, we should be in hell. But God loves us. He loves you. He loves every one of you. He loves you in a way you can't even begin to imagine. Scripture tells us about this. Again, Romans 8, 31 through 39. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That's you. It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors to him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Folks, that's how God proves he loves you. In earlier, we looked at 1 John 1, 1 through 5, which tells us that Jesus is a personification of this book. How does that affect your lifestyle? Do you see Jesus as your provider, your facilitator? Do you understand that Jesus completed the work that he was sent to do when he hung on the cross and he said, "It is finished"? His work on earth was done at that point. He had done everything God sent him here to do. And he was doing the last thing God had told him to do, and that was die. For you. For you, for your sin. And he did it because he loved you, because he was obedient to the Father. What kind of intercession is he making for us? If God's work is to be done here on earth, Jesus is not going to do it. He's with God in heaven. If God's work is to be done here on earth, it's going to be up to you and me. God has work here, and it needs to be done. And he intends for it to be done. Each of us, if we love God and we love Jesus, and we know Jesus, each of us are responsible for accomplishing God's work. God has given us his word, who for a time lived in the person of Jesus Christ. An example of that kind of Jesus showed us a small part of his power as he lived here on this earth, as he healed people, as he cast out demons, as he ministered to the human race. But that wasn't the first time Jesus had been here. Jesus was here at the creation. He made it all. He made you. Your seed was in Adam and Eve. And from them, this whole world has been populated, and everyone who walks upon it can trace their lineage back to them. And even at that time, he knew, because he was God, he knew he would have to make intercession. And when he made Adam, before he made Eve, he knew he was going to have to come here and die for us. And he made him anyway. Everything that Jesus does in interceding for us is done in love. Everything. It's not done in anger. It's not done to get even with you. It's done in love. The Holy Spirit of God is the one who is doing the work as he, the power of God through his children. God is trying to operate through you. He is trying to empower you to be the one to accomplish what he wants accomplished. Jesus came. He has come, and as we read the Old Testament, we see many pre-incarnate that would be before his first advent when he was a man. His appearances in the Old Testament. When Abraham saw the two angels coming in a third person to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of all their sin, one of that third person was Jesus Christ. When Moses went to the burning bush to be told he was going to lead Israel, God's chosen people, out of Egypt, that burning bush was Jesus Christ. He's been preparing the world for his advent. Earlier we looked at John 14. We saw Philip ask to see the Father, and Jesus replied that having seen him, we had seen the Father. Have you seen him? Have you seen the Father? Have you seen the person of the Holy Spirit? How can we say that we know what Jesus looks like? Do you see him as a servant or a savior? Do we go to him, I need this, I want that, give me this? Or do we go to serve him, to be his servant? Do we ask God, use me, God? God wants to. We don't have the strength, we don't have the power. But God has given it to us in the form of the Holy Spirit, and it lives within us. Do you approach God and Jesus as creator and ruler of the universe? Do you? Even think about the universe and how big it is. Do you see yourself as their bondservant? That's what Paul saw himself as. Are you serving Jesus, or are you living your life as you desire? Do you see Jesus as one to be served? Our church is dwindling in numbers. We've seen several sisters taken to heaven in the last couple of years. The thing that we have to do for Jesus is to bring people into this church. That is the thing we have to do. Because if we don't, this church is just going to dwindle out of existence. We've all got to go home sometime. If we continue to come alone to our church, it will stop to cease existing. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. He bought it. And if we're going to serve him, we need to bring people with us when we come. I'm so glad Shirley brought her grandson. People, we have got to bring people. I'm so glad Jocelyn brings her son. We're glad to have you here. A large part of what is going to happen is going to depend on how you see Jesus. He's either the one we are to serve, or we make him the one to serve us. And that's not his place. We need to examine our hearts and see what part that Jesus takes in our daily life. Are we teaching about him faithfully, or are we just a social club? And I hope we're not that. How do we change the way that we are doing things and start getting people to come here, because they'll meet Jesus here through his people and through the Holy Spirit? That's the whole purpose for our being here. People's vision of Jesus are not always correct. There are those who picture Jesus in their mind as just another man who at one time walked upon this earth. And let's think for just a minute about what Jesus did as creator of the universe. We've been studying the creation on Sunday night. And Michael has given me some DVDs to watch. And some of the information is way beyond our comprehension, beyond mine. If we consider this place we live, the world, being part of the Milky Way, the galaxy that we live in. It's over 5 light years across. When light leaves the sun, it is traveling at 186,000 miles per second. Per second. 186,000 miles. How far does it travel in a year? Can you imagine the number? Our galaxy, 5 light years across. How far can light travel at 186,000 miles per second? How far can it travel in 5 years? We can't comprehend it. Our galaxy is one of over 100 billion galaxies. 100 billion. There are billions of stars in our galaxy alone. Every galaxy has other billion stars. They reach out there into space. Who created it all? Jesus. This man that we picture in our mind. How big is he? You're probably still in Isaiah 55. Turn to Isaiah 42. I want to show you a verse. I begin to think about Jesus and who he is. It makes me want to weep for the way I have treated him. Isaiah 42, verse 5. You've probably read it, but it just didn't have an application at the time. It says, "Thus saith God the Lord." That's El, from Elohim, God, the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah. He that created the heavens, that's Jesus, and stretched them out. He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it. He that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk there. Oh. He made you. He made you. He gave you life. Think of stretching out the universe. Galaxy after galaxy after galaxy. Too many to number. It says God knows all the stars by name. Think about this. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, "And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He is not just the size of man. He's the size of God. We limit in our minds who God is and what he can do. We think only in relation to earth and ourselves, but God is even bigger than our imagination. When we think about ourselves in comparison to the universe, we're not even compared to a speck of dust. We're less than the smallest bacteria. And yet Jesus loved us enough to become one of us and to die for us. What kind of love is that? He made the galaxy. He made the universe. But he cares about you and me. 1 hour is not enough to contemplate God. A lifetime is not enough. Take some time, and I mean not just a little time, but take some time to meditate about who Jesus is. If he could stretch out the universe, as Isaiah 42:5 tells us, what can he do in your life? What can he do in your life? Let me read that passage again in Isaiah 42. This time I want to read a few more verses. Thus saith the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Father, you're too much for us. Too much for us to comprehend. Too much for us to understand. But Father, we believe in you. We believe in Jesus. We just didn't realize he was so big. So important to everything that exists. You are that one. Help us, Father, to understand a little bit more of who you are and how you want to do for us, how you want to use us, how you want to provide for us, how you want us to come home and live with you when we're all done with this life. May your will be done in our life this day. And Father, may we do your will tomorrow and the day after that. May your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, as we pray that. And we will praise you for all that you do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.